Title of the message this morning is, What Are You Thinking About? You know, it's been said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I've definitely found that friendships have a way of rubbing off on you. You've got the right friends, and they'll rub off on you in the right way. You've got some bad friends, oh, they'll rub off on you in the wrong way. It's a lot like Cheetos, right? Like when you have a big old bag of Cheetos, they will rub off on you. With good friends, you can pick up some fun new hobbies. And with some bad friends, well, you'll definitely pick up some bad habits. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. So you can hang out with certain people long enough and you will begin to think like them, talk like them. Then you start even looking the same. Have you noticed that friends that hang out for a long enough time, they start picking up some of the trends? You know, birds of a feather flock together. And some of you know this to be true. And that's why you say, listen, I have no friends. I've distanced myself from people. The only friends I have are my pets. A dog is a man's best friend. Have you even noticed, though, that people start to look like they're animals? So though they don't have normal people friends that they look like, they've got animal friends that they begin to resemble. There's a funny scene in that movie, 101 Dalmatians, where the dog owners are walking by with their dogs, and the dogs look a lot like them. And this is true. You can go to any dog park, and you can pretty easily start picking out which dogs match with which owner. And the same concept, though, is all throughout life. You know, the circle of people that you allow to be around you will have a profound impact on your life. If you've got a buddy or a friend that likes to work out, it's only a matter of time before you start moving a little bit. If your friend is a barber, it's only a matter of time before you get a cut. If your friend is a police officer, it's only a matter of time before you get a donut, right? Today we're being introduced to 8 friends that you need to know on a personal level. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Paul highlights 8 characteristics. And I'm going to make it more about characteristics. It will be really just a character that you get to hear and see and pay attention to and invite to be a part of your life. So here are the 8 that Paul mentions. He mentions whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy. Those are the things. Those individuals, you need to meditate with those individuals. You need to know those types of people and invite them into your life. Do these things, and the God of peace himself will come and dwell in your midst. So who I'm introducing you today is this. I've put some names on them. You've got old man Mr. True, okay, so whatever things are true. There's identical twins, gentleman noble and lady virtue, all right? So whatever's noble, whatever's virtuous. There's Miss Perfectly Just, so this is justice. There's 2 best friends, pure and lovely. I call him Captain Good Report, whatever is of good report. And then there's a great blessing that you need to keep close. It's Miss Praiseworthy. These friends, hopefully today, you can get to know, hang out with, and they're going to rub off on you. And knowing these characteristics will change your mind. So maybe you're struggling with some difficult decisions right now. Maybe you've got some crazy thoughts. Today, you are struggling in the area of your mind. Today, we're talking about what does it look like to have a stable mind as a Christian. At the end of verse 8, it says, think on these things, or even meditate on these things. Throughout the book of Philippians, as you know, we've been going through this book, there's 2 big themes. One theme is having insane joy, experiencing real joy, regardless of your circumstance. And then secondly, it's having a mind that honors the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so a man is. Your life is a product of your thoughts. What you think matters. What you dwell on matters and makes a difference. What you allow to occupy in your mind in your thought life will have immediate impact upon you. You know, a bad thought is kind of like, in my opinion, a terrorist trying to get on a airplane, making his way through the security checkpoints so he can get on the plane and cause some devastation. A bad thought is like this unchecked, unguarded, unfiltered terrorist trying to mess up your life. I mean, if you've flown recently, you know this. The goal is to have a safe flight. And so you want to arrive safely. And so you start packing, and you know there's certain things you can't bring on board. You can't pack everything. There's a size restriction. There's a weight restriction. You know, TSA, you got to jump through all these hoops. There's metal detectors and body scans. And by the end of it, you feel violated. You're like, how did I sign up for this? But there, you know what you're signing up for when you get to the airport. They're not going to let just anything get onto that plane. There are different barriers. There are checkpoints that you have to pass in order to get to your destination. The mind is like a plane, and you need to have checks and balances in place in your life that determine what can enter your life and your mind and what should not be allowed in. And so my question for you today is, what standards do you have in place for your mind? What checkpoints and security stations have you put in place to protect yourself? Why is it important? Because Satan is like the ultimate suicide bomber, and he's wanting to hijack your mind and wreck your life. Paul today is giving us these eight characters that pass every security checkpoint and are great company to have on your airplane and in your mind. So these individuals, okay, again, we're putting character on these characteristics. If you have them close and you hang on to them tightly, I'm telling you today, you will experience peace in your mind like never before. Last week we talked about the peace of God will guard you. Today, if you have these things, you have this company around you, the peace of God will go with you. So not only is it a barrier, but it's fuel to your tank, where the peace of God actually fuels you, goes with you, and your mind is free from the stress and the worries of life, where you find yourself just saturated with the peace of God. Okay, so what's the first thing that Paul mentions today? The first character that we need to meet, his name is Old Man, Mr. True. Whatever things are true, do you see it there in your text? The word true here, defined biblically, is whatever's honest or truthful or in accordance with fact. And so the idea today, sadly, in our culture is that you need to open your mind and be more aware of things outside of the truth that you've come to know. And so the idea is to maybe even erase self and think beyond the barriers that you've set up in your mind. Open your mind. But I want to tell you, an open mind is a lot like a gutter. I don't know where that water came from in the gutter. I don't know where it's going. I don't even know what's in it, but I know it's not good for the fish. And people today, their minds are definitely open, and it is a sewage plant. It is not healthy, and I see it lived out in their lives, because what you think will impact how you live. And so the question that we need to ask is, the things that I think about, are they true? Are you thinking on true things daily? Or are they make-believe? Are they things that are more in line with your emotions than they are with what is accurate? You know, people today, they live in fantasy over reality. It's feelings over fact. It's fake news over good news. In a day of fake news, truth is a commodity that we need more of. Now, not only do we have a world of fake news, but it's inspired by the father of lies. Remember, I told you, the Bible says Satan is a deceiver. He's the father of lies. So it makes sense that Jesus says that he's the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. His word is the truth. So Satan is trying to counter that. So no wonder the world is so confused. It's because it's under the sway of the evil one. But what's one of the ways that a believer can keep a level head on what is true? It's by knowing the word of God. I have heard that it's around 85% of the things we worry about actually never happen. Did you know that? the things that we spend a lot of time losing sleep over and arguing over and pondering, 85% of those things never even happen. The majority of us are wasting time and energy on things that aren't even true. Here's a little joke for you. My son told me the other day, what do you call a dinosaur who worries too much? A nervous Rex. That's a dad joke, all right? I know you're giggling, even though I can't hear you. A nervous Rex. Well, maybe you wouldn't be such a nervous Rex if you first asked the question, is this thought true? You know, if you were to go looking for Old Man True, I would tell you that he lives where he's always lived. He's lived in the same place for a few thousand years. He's reliable, trustworthy, consistent, and can be counted on. What am I talking about? The Word of God. John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The Word of God. The Bible is our source on truth. It's an old-fashioned truth that hasn't changed. And you need to know it. Dwell on it. Get familiar with it. When you understand what is true, you won't be fooled by what is false. It's a lot like how Secret Service agents today can tell the difference between counterfeit money and the real authentic. You know, instead of giving all of the Secret Service, who are in charge of the counterfeits, instead of showing them all of the counterfeit bills, this is how they train them. They don't give them thousands and thousands of different counterfeits that have existed in the past. What's interesting is the way they train the Secret Service to detect a counterfeit is not by giving them a counterfeit. It's by giving them the authentic dollar bill, whatever comes from the government mint. They examine it, they feel it, they smell it, they become overly familiar with the authentic. And the more they know the real thing, the faster they will recognize what is false and what is wrong. And this is so counter to our day and age, where we spend a lot of time focusing on falsehood. And I'm telling you this, forget the falsehood. Just focus on what's true, and you will by default put your mind at ease. And so here's some things that you can do on a daily basis. You can play true or false in your mind. Question, you can say, is this thought true or false? Is this worry true or false? Is what I'm hearing true or false? Do that, it'll help you a whole lot. Okay, so the next little character that we come into contact with that is good to know and have as a good companion in your life, it's the identical twins. It's noble and virtue. So these two go together biblically. Gentleman noble and lady virtue. Noble is defined as virtuous. It's honorable, dignity, greatness, majesty. A few times in my life, I have found myself in the company of some really great men and women, people of high class, individuals of esteem. And I've noticed that not only do I do it, but other people do it. You give honor and recognition to nobility, to those that are virtuous. You recognize the people that have it. Paul is saying, you need to think on these things. What is noble? What is virtuous? When these twins come around, you feel like, well, they're bringing you up from the mud. Your mind gets elevated from the everyday, normal, dirty routine. You know what I'm talking about, where you wake up, you get dressed, then you have to deal with stress, then you try your best, but then you realize I'm a mess, and then I need some rest, right? Like that's the daily routine. Noble and virtue, when they come in, they come on your left and on your right. And what they do is they remind you of the calling in your life, that you are a royal priesthood. If you are a son or a daughter of the great king, the Bible tells us that you are no longer a slave, you're no longer a servant, you're no longer in the mud, you're no longer in the dark, you're no longer belonging to Satan who's ruining your life, but you are grafted in, adopted into the family of the great king. You become that nobility and that virtue. That's why Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We know the plans God has for us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. The class and the quality of nobility, of being noble and virtuous, man, it just tells you that, like, I don't need to think on the same plane level that everybody else thinks on, but I can start thinking of greater and grander things. My mind doesn't get trapped in the mire and the mud. You get reminded of who God is and who you are. And so whenever somebody comes at you, questioning who you are, questioning your worth, questioning your purpose, getting you distracted with what God has created you to, you can sit back and be like, no. Man, the twins, nobility and virtue, these two over here remind me, no, I belong to God. He's got a purpose for my life. I know what He's called me to do. He's created me for this. He's designed me for this. And so I'm not going to get distracted over here. Oh, Paul is helping you get focused on what God is calling you to do. All right, so number four. The fourth friend that you need to know is Miss Perfectly Just. The word just, think on whatever is just. That word means righteous, correct, or even justice. It's a conviction of conscience. The ability to see and to say, that's wrong or this is right. That's perfectly just. Where your opinions on what is proper in our day and age is not skewed or warped by someone else's opinion. When you've got justice that lives in your life, what you're able to do is you're able to speak up when something is wrong. You can run your businesses so much better, by the way, when you're seeking justice, not only nobility and virtue and what's true, but justice, where you're doing the right thing. You're putting truth in action. It will greatly impact you as a CEO. If you live justly, you live uprightly, your life is on par with what is right. Now, there's two other friends that will also help you be a better CEO, and that is Pure and Lovely. These two friends, they always hang out together. These two ladies, Pure and Lovely. Pure means moral purity in the Greek, holy, innocent, clean, chaste, without sin. It's the idea of being without spot. Now, the obvious application is that in regard to our culture that we live right now, these two are the opposite of what you see on TV, social media, what you might see in your company, what you might see on your TV, your television, your interactions on a daily basis. These two, Pure and Lovely, they're only found in one place, and that's with God. You know, purity is long gone, if we're really honest. I mean, we're bombarded with messaging and imagery that's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is one of the reasons why my family gave up TV a long time ago in our home, because I can't control the ads. I can't control the commercials. And so I'm saying, no, you know, Pure and Lovely live in this home. And so I'm not going to let filth in to warp my boys and my mind. You know, Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. Purity is something that has to be fought for, defended, not just in regards to what you watch and view, but in every area of your life. One of the most common questions that I get asked as a pastor, which is interesting, from young people mostly, is the question, can I? It's about lifestyle, convictions, and enjoyments. You know, can I still be a Christian if I, or can I listen to this non-Christian music over here? Can I watch these inappropriate movies, Pastor? Pastor, can I drink and how much? Can I smoke a little weed and how much? Can I sleep with my boyfriend and girlfriend? Or girlfriend, not both. can I is the big question. How close can I get to the edge of the cliff where it's, you know, no longer safe? And the goal of the Christian life is not considering how far can I get away from God and still be considered a Christian? But the goal of the Christian life is how close can I get to God and know Him and love Him with all of my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. You're supposed to be wanting to get as close to God as possible, not as far away as possible, and still be on good terms. We should be eliminating the things that distract us, deter us away from God. And that will inform your decisions. So Paul says, you need to live closely with purity and loveliness. Whatever you do, allow these ladies, these two characteristics, to guard you from the filth that's around you. No wonder you have such bad thoughts, by the way. No wonder that you struggle with temptation so much. You're feeding your mind that trash. You're watching it. No wonder you're thinking about it. And no wonder you're struggling with it in your body. Your mind impacts your actions. Start putting lovely in place and purity in place, and you will find your body, your soul, your mind really start to clean up quickly. You know, one of the questions I tell people is this. Okay, so you've asked me all the things that you can do, but here's one of my suggestions for you. Can you do those things to the glory of God? Put it this way, if Jesus were there with you in that moment, would you still do it? Would you still take the drink? Would you still take the hit? Would you still go that far in that relationship? Would you still make those decisions and go to that location if Jesus were there with you? Probably not. Okay, that's your answer. And purity obviously has that friend lovely that I've mentioned. You know, lovely is whatever is beautiful and pleasing to the mind and delightful, agreeable. So purity is what guards you from the filth. Lovely is what gives you something to look at. So, okay, Jason, I can't watch those movies. What can I do? I shouldn't be entertaining those individuals in my life. So who should I? What should I be thinking on if I can't be thinking on the trash? And lovely, that is what you should be thinking on. Whatever's lovely, agreeable, delightful. And this is only used here in the Bible, by the way. And lovely is someone that lives outside. Some things that are lovely to us are those things that bring us peace and rest in our viewing of them or enjoying them. So let me ask you, what are some lovely things that you could look at and think on or about that would bring you rest? For me, it's really easy. I just think about my wife. If she were here, that would be total points, okay? But she's not. But there are some other things that actually bring me real rest. God's creation brings me rest. When I go outside and sit in the quiet, I can hear some birds chirping and the sun is starting to come up. It's a nice, like, briskish, cold morning. Those things bring me rest on the inside. And when's the last time that you went and intentionally viewed the lovely things of life? When's the last time that you went on a walk? You sat by a lake without your phone? You watched a sunset, or you got up early for a sunrise? You went to the beach and you sat there and you let the sand fall between your fingers? Closed your eyes and you listened to the sound of the waves crashing? Looked out over the wide ocean? Or you smelled some wildflowers? You go on a hike? You sat quiet and listened to the birds? Or you went fishing? God has given us creation as a medicine to help your weary soul. God is a beautiful God, a creative God. What we have around us are things that are meant to woo your heart back toward the Lord. These are lovely things that God has given to give your mind rest. The more you avoid those things and the more you're trapped up with the impure things, your mind will be stressed out, burdened down, and I'm telling you, you're going to struggle. That's why Psalm 8 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them." Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world." Life is full of lovely and beautiful things that can help captivate your heart and your mind. And so get off Instagram, okay, put down your phone, get away from the TV, the screens, and get your butt outside. This will help your mind. Okay, we're almost ending now. So we've got number 7. Paul talks about Captain Good Report. Okay, I call him Captain because he's an important one. Good Report. Good Report means true, encouraging, positive, or uplifting. A good report. You think on whatever encourages you. What's positive? The uplifting things. Have you noticed how grumpy and upset and negative and pessimistic people are getting nowadays. It seems that I'm running into more and more of these glass half empty folks. You always have your optimists and your pessimists, don't get me wrong. But who you keep close will have direct impact on you. And what Paul is saying is you need to keep Captain Good Report close to you. So it's Captain Good Report to the rescue. Are you focusing on the good things or the bad things of life? For those of you who are complainers, if you're purposely thinking about the things of good report, you will find that you have nothing to complain about. I heard this about a couple after 50 years of marriage. This couple was sitting at a dinner table and the wife said to her husband, you know, leaning in, after all these years of marriage, I know that you are tried and true. He didn't quite hear her, and so he leaned forward. The husband, he said, well, what did you say? So she said it a little bit louder. After all these years of marriage, I have learned that you are tried and true. Honey, speak louder. I can't hear you. So she said it again. After all these years of marriage, I have learned that you are tried and true. To that he retorted, well, after all these years of being married, I'm tired of you too. Oh my gosh. Family, pessimism will take over your life if you're not careful. Being a Debbie Downer will ruin you if you allow it. Turn off the news, get away from the pessimist, open your Bible, think on some good things for a change. Turn that frown upside down, as my mom used to say. There are some jobs, obviously, that make that difficult. Some of you have a lot of weight on your shoulders, and so you're dealing with constant bad news. You've got lawyers and lawsuits. You've got money issues. But I want to tell you, if you start to look at the positive things that God has done in your life and all the ways that He's blessed you, it will outweigh those hard things. And so Captain Good Report will come to the rescue. All the more important that you start focusing on the good things. Finally, lastly, we've got Miss Young Praiseworthy. Whatever's praiseworthy, worthy of praise. The word praise means applause, recognition, literally a shout of triumph. I am so blessed when I hear things that are praiseworthy, things that I clap about, that I hear, and it's good news. When you start hearing good news, great testimony from people, it will do something to your heart. That's why it's important for us to listen to the stories of the people of God, how God has transformed them and changed them from where they used to be to where they are today, which your story should be that, by the way. You should learn how to put your testimony, your story together, the story that is praiseworthy, because it will be this for other people. When I hear stories of how God has come through and answered prayers, done the impossible, healed the cancer, provided for the debt, how God has stepped in and provided a home or an answer that you didn't think would come, how God has restored marriages, He's brought back prodigal children. When you hear these stories like I do on a regular basis, man, it causes you to sit back and just go, God, you're good. God, you're good. I love hearing how God breaks through the difficulties of life, because it reminds me that He can break through my difficulties in my life. So today you're struggling with your thoughts. What you need to do is you need to go listen to some praiseworthy things, where how God has showed up, and you will find yourself tears of joy, hands are clapping, where you're saying, man, God, you're good. Lord, you're good. Paul's given us some really great truths here, friends, that if you dwell on these things, it'll move your heart the right direction. Verse 9, when you get all of these together, when all eight of those friends come together and you start hanging out with them and they start impacting you, there's a result that happens, verse 9, as we close. It says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. and the God of peace will be with you. Do you want the God of peace to be with you? He hangs out with those friends that I mentioned. The more you allow them to take up space in your life, oh, you will find the peace of God right there in the midst of it, going with you, watching over you, protecting you, helping you. I close with this. You need to watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. The key to having a life that honors the Lord is to have a mind that honors the Lord. If you watch your thoughts, those thoughts will watch over you. Let me pray. God, I thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for my friends on the phone call. And I ask that, God, you would help them come to the rescue. Lord, lift these negative, bad, impure, false thoughts from their mind and replace it, Lord, with what is true and noble and virtuous, of good report and praiseworthy and just. Lord, I pray these characteristics would be found, Lord, as common guests in their mind and in their life. Lord, I do believe that you are at work in our lives, and that is so amazing to see. And I ask that, God, you would remind us that we've got nothing to complain about because of all the amazing things that you've done for us. So we love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.